Welcome to church. You guys hear me? Give me a emoji. Yeah. Got a little bit of time to talk some shit on Abrahamism. A little bit. All right, Goy, what's up, man?
Me? Not much, man. I'm just chilling. I don't know. Kind of just listening, man. Sorry. But no, the answer to your question is obviously no for me. I think I told you. I'm an agnostic atheist, so I don't believe in any fairy tales.
Gotcha.
Yeah, man.
We're having some fun last
night. I'm sorry, go ahead.
We were having some fun last night with that Christian guy.
I missed it, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's up there. It's pretty good. It's about an hour of, you know, the Jesus was a 6'5" Aryan Chad cove.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, maybe I'll give it a listen later.
I'm wondering if anyone tuned into that. Heard the insanity of the Aryan Jesus 6'5" white cat. If anyone tuned into that and their thoughts on it, just the Copium Maximus.
Just so you know, I'd be to interrupt. I sent you a video clip that I downloaded from Instagram. I think it's from Zeitgeist when they're talking about like the origins of many religions having like the same kind of concepts. I just want to check it out, whatever.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. I'm going to hang out in the background, but have a good day, dude.
You too.
Thank you.
Well, I kind of want to have a back and forth with some people, so I'm just going to remain quiet until we get some people up here to have a conversation. I got to save all my talking to myself for my show later.
Oh, you're going live tonight? Okay, I'll tune in.
Yeah.
Is it, what kind of show is it? Half video clips, half of the chat roulette thing?
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I like the chat roulette just because it's like a mixed bag, you know? It's like not knowing what to expect is kind of fun. Dude, if you don't mind, I'm requesting if you could. Humbly requesting Racist Cheeseburger can maybe make a cameo tonight.
Yeah, I'll try.
All right, I appreciate it.
I hate that one, but...
All right, then you have to do it.
No idea why everyone likes it, but...
Because it's just so ridiculous, man.
It is pretty ridiculous.
It's good. I like it. I got a kick out of it. Yeah, the Racist Cheeseburger, though, has got to have bacon on it. That way it's, you know, it's totally Goyim-proof.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. All right. Take care, dude.
All right, brother. All right, we'll get some requests. Vlad? Hello, hello. Go ahead, man. Just chime in. It's open. Don't
start. Hey.
Last night was the first time. Oh, good. Good, Vlad. Good.
I just want to say, HD, check your regular text. I sent you a picture wearing something special for our boy Steve.
Oh, yeah? I kind of wanted to be a surprise. Oh, man. Yeah, we're about to... There's a few of us that are linking up at my house. And everyone's anti-Christian, the majority of us. And we've got a Christian that we're going to sacrifice to Moloch. because we're demon worshippers now. So I don't know if you guys are going to see Chris Hansen ever again, because I'm going to sacrifice the police for today. All right? Don't tell
Absolutely.
Me.
Yeah.
HG, last night was the first time, is that the first time that you saw the full context of the excrement thing about Jesus? And
yes.
Yeah, me too.
Mind blown.
Pretty interesting, yeah. I never saw it in that context at all.
Yeah, very dishonest, you know, very dishonest when you don't read that. But that's what I would call cherry picking.
Like, what was the guy's name? Ankelos? I never, after all the research I've done, I never heard of that guy being the rabbi in that age.
No idea, but pretty interesting that he said, he confirmed, you know, that Jesus was not a Gentile and Jesus was trying to help the Jews. He was just rejected as the Messiah. That's why he was
Yeah.
But, you know, last night we obviously see that Christianity is a mind virus and it transforms into different strands, from Catholicism to, you know, Orthodox to Christian identity. You know, last night was real fun with the 6'5" Texas Bulgarian Chad Jesus.
Dude, I joined that when you guys were like going along with it, and I was like, what the fuck is going on right now? Because you were playing along, I was like, there's no way the HT is going this route right now.
Oh, yeah.
No, yeah. I thought you were serious, dude. I got home from work and I chimed
in. Really?
Yeah, and then I heard you talking to that guy like that. I was like, what is going on? What I missed?
That was me like a year ago.
Yeah, I know, literally.
I was surprised you didn't catch on to it sooner.
Yeah, no, like I said, like I turned it on when I was driving home from work, and like I just kind of heard like this and that. Then I got home, was really starting to listen to it. Then I chimed in.
I thought there might have been hope, but the longer he talked, the more cooked he seemed.
Oh yeah, he was gone.
Yeah, bro. A lot of people, you know, come into Christianity cooked for the most part, you know, if your parents didn't indoctrinate you with it. And then you go into like, you know, AA, same thing, man. You go in there cooked. And AA, go in there with like, all right, we'll do whatever. And listen, man, I think, you know, I'm definitely, there's some hangups I have with AA. But the idea of just like a creator, whatever, is way better than anything that tells you that you're a sinner and that, you know, your enemies can't be dealt with unless God deals with them. So even though I've got my hang-ups with AA, because there is some, quite a few of, you know, there's just some pacifism going on in that, but it's not as heavy as like, you know, you go in there and you got to get sober by saying Jews are God's chosen people.
Yeah.
You know, and mutilate your cock.
Well, that's exactly
what,
I touched on that last night with you and Big Tech. And I was like, why do people have to be hung up on religion? Like, I think ideally, to move forward is like, all right, you believe in a creator. Why do you have to hang it up on a religion? Like, whatever, dude, you can be pagan or you can be Christianity or this or that, but like, why do you have to have, like I said before, like that comfort blanket thing? Why can't you just go your daily thing and just like kind of, you know, love your race and like go back to your ancestry? I don't understand like what it is. Why do you cling on to the Jew and sand religion? For what? Where is that bringing, like, especially, like, the white power guys? It's bringing you nowhere. It's just a revolving door, dude.
Yeah, it's kind of pathetic. We're too superstitious. You know, as a race.
But they're there, dude. They're there more than half of the people that we talk to. Like, Bastion's there, Hanson's there, Paul Miller's there. But they're still, they have, like, that faith thing. But like, in what? For what? For what?
It's easier to convince a man he's been, what is it? It's easier to convince a man he's been tricked than, I forgot the thing. It's easier to trick a man than it is to convince a man he's been tricked.
Yeah, yeah.
There it is.
The last few weeks from these spaces, what I learned is every single one of the white power Christ bros has their own version of the religion. They have to make it something else.
Exactly. It's just made up, though. It's just like to make them feel better about what they're coping with. You can't just make up your own religion and be a white power dude. Like, if that's your thing, like, you should just be a nationalist and that's it.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, dude, like, if people are doing that, then they haven't got a level of honesty in them yet, but they haven't faced that music. They don't realize it, but subliminally, they're being dishonest. And that's what I had to come to terms with, is that I am being dishonest by being complacent and willfully ignorant. You know? That's willful ignorance.
Yeah, when I see that in somebody's their bio, it's like, oh, white nationalist, and then Christian identity. Like, that's not real. You made that up.
Yeah.
That's impossible. If you're a Christian, you can't be race first. That's just the way it is. Everybody knows that.
Selfish because now you want everyone else to, like, hold on to this bullshit that, like, you're not even want to look at and go, like, yeah, you know, more than likely the Jews probably funded a lot of Christianity, you know, the spreading of Christianity, because they knew that if we were reading this book, pretty much Jews were welcome into our country, you know? It's like all the similarities with these Catholics wearing the fucking yarmulkes, man. It's just like, Jesus being a Jew, like, come on, dude. The first Christians were Jews. The Torah is Jewish. The New Testament was written by Jews. Like, Saul, when they say Saul was killing Christians, he was killing Jewish Christians. Jewish Christians. Like, this is like that blend that people go, he's killing Christians. Yeah, they were Jews.
Yeah.
He was Jewish. Killing Jewish Christians, because it was a sect, just like you don't like Catholics. It was like a white Catholic killing a white freaking Orthodox Christian. You know, it's the same thing. It's not like he's fighting for your fucking religion, but it just blends it to where it's like, oh yeah, Christians are white. No, Christians were Jews. Christians were Jews. And what you've become is you're spiritually a Jew now. Congratulations, retard.
I think the space like that
today.
I think that was helping last night, because if you compare how the mental gymnastics he has to use to justify his Christianity and compare it to the other shit he was talking about, Egypt is America and flat earth and all that other shit, it just looks insane. I wish we could have heard that Big Tech song too. That sounded funny what I heard of it.
Are you talking about Luke, that guy from yesterday who was talking about how Hitler's gonna ride on a horse with Jesus?
Well, yeah, that's my idea. He was down.
He ran the gamut of fucking crazy beliefs last night. But that Christ supporter guy, Christ supremacist, he keeps thumb down on everybody. Why don't you come up and talk?
Yeah, come on, Kike supremacist. I mean, Christ supremacist. Come on, Kike supremacy. Let's hear about your fucking your Old Testament, your book that was written by Jews, and then the other second half written by Jews, and how the religion was, you know, practiced originally by Jews. And let's hear how Aryan this Jewish Christianity is, bro. Just come on up here. Let's hear it, man. Christ is King of the Jews. Oh, here he is. Finally, a Christian with some balls.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, bro?
What's up, man?
Hey, I did want to say I agree with Abrahamic that, I think it was Abrahamic saying this, that you can't be a Christian and a white nationalist at the same time, because they're two contrary belief systems, and people who say that they are have a form of cognitive dissonance, and there is a lack of consistency there. So I agree with that principle you were talking about.
Well, then the whole thing should end right there. You hear that? White nationalist Christians? You're not a white nationalist then, right?
I'm Christ first. My faith in Christ comes first and foremost before race. And I view race as a secondary issue. I don't believe it's irrelevant or not important. I do believe in identity and culture is important, but not at the expense of my faith in Christ.
Wow, you need to come here more often and start preaching that. I think you're absolutely right. I can't argue with you.
But I don't believe that Christianity was a tool of the Jews, though, to subvert nations. I disagree with that wholeheartedly.
Well, there's a verse in there where Saul is going to Israel and taking money from the Gentiles. Familiar with that part?
Yeah, I was in a space where you quoted that. I believe it was Romans chapter 15, and I do believe that you kind of lacked the context of what was going on there.
Break it down.
So they didn't change the whole Jewish traditions of like circumcision to baptism so that more Gentiles would conform to Judaism 2.0, aka Christianity?
No, I don't believe that baptism is like a reinvention of circumcision. I don't believe that. But that verse that you referred to, Romans chapter 15, where it says that the Gentile Christians who receive spiritual things from the Jews, that they're debtors to minister to their carnal needs as well. I do believe that the context there is that the Jews who preached Christ to these people, that these Gentiles had somewhat of an obligation to help these Jews who were in need. I don't think it's a carte blanche, just it's the obligation of every Christian to minister carnal things to the Jewish people, carte blanche. It's just following the same principle of Christ telling his disciples that we're to love one another.
No, wait. Rewind that. Because he said, go back about 30 seconds, because you just pretty much confirmed the tenet issue here, the core issue, which is the Jews spread Christianity to the Gentiles, correct?
Yeah, Christianity originated with Jewish converts, yes.
Everyone listening, the Jews, okay, so we can agree on this, just say yes or no. The Torah is written by Jews, yes or no?
I would say that the Torah was given to the Jews by God. They were given the oracles of God as stewards of the oracles of God.
Perfect, even better. Okay, and the New Testament was written by Jews also, correct?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. And Jesus Christ was the Jewish Messiah that was rejected. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Now. You think we have a Jewish problem?
Well, ultimately, I view it as it's a spiritual problem. You know, there are white men who are spiritually dead, as well as there are white men who are spiritually alive that are my brothers in Christ. My desire is for all white men to be in Christ and to love each other and to spread the gospel. But I don't view this as strictly a race issue, rather a spiritual one at heart.
I believe it's a spiritual issue that leads to a race issue, because the spiritual issue is making us racially retarded.
Well, like, for example, I do believe that the Jews are the synagogue of Satan. Like, as a whole, generally, the Jews are satanic and are
but
contrary
that
to all men.
That was taken out of context. That was taken out of context because what you're leaving out there is that they were specifically only talking about a sect of not Jews as...
You cut out there, Abraham. Can you repeat that?
They were only speaking about a certain synagogue in Philadelphia, not the Jews as an entire whole. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I think I don't know if that's what it's saying there. I think that
well,
there
look
are
it up. Look it up right now. You got Grok, you got Google. What synagogue were they referring to when in Revelation 3:9 when they say synagogue of Satan, and it will give you a location of the synagogue they're referring to. They're not generalizing all Jews.
Well, I think, yeah, immediately that was probably the the context, but it's saying in general, like, I will make them who say they are Jews and are not. So speaking about those who say they are Jews, but spiritually they're not. They are actually of Satan. That's why Christ told the Jews that they are of their father, the devil.
Yeah, but he's only referring to that certain sect.
That's fine. I mean, you could make that argument, but I would say that the Jews generally, it says in Thessalonians that they're contrary to all men and please not God, and that the wrath of God abides on them. So without Christ, the Jews do still have the curse on them. Quiet. Hold on.
But if that was true, then why would Jesus be spreading the Torah if that was true? Why would he be teaching Torah if that was true?
Jesus was teaching the true me. Hold on a second. I got to deal with this. I'll listen. Just give me a second.
Okay. So what he's saying is that if Jews are the synagogue of Satan, but if you're saying that God came down and gave them the book of the Torah, and Jesus was going around teaching the Torah, then how would they be opposed to God's will when they're teaching from God's book that was given to them?
Well, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, whom Jesus was like battling with during his time on earth, like they had superseded and created all of these superstitions and traditions that actually negated the true spiritual meaning of the Torah, and they actually didn't have the truth. They were deceived in many ways and deceiving others. Though they may have had the authority to teach it, they were not being faithful to their authority.
And who decided that? Jesus is one man compared to how many other Jewish opinions at that time that felt like he was a radical and out of his mind. So you're taking the word of one Jewish sect over another.
No, I mean, I would say that Christ was teaching the hold on a second.
He was there to fulfill the old law. Right, of Moses. He was like the whole argument. Well, I don't need to argue this with you, but that's the celebration of the massacre of white Greek Europeans. So that throws your whole Jesus was an Aryan out the window, retard. But I don't have to argue with that with you because you're an honest Christian who knows that Jesus was Jewish, in theory.
Yeah, but another thing I would make note is the messianic prophecies that pointed towards Jesus Christ that give him authority, I would say, as the Son of God, to properly interpret the Old Testament law.
Are you opposed to Baal and child sacrifice?
Absolutely, of course.
Well, then why do you worship a god that came from that pantheon?
I don't. I don't worship a god who came from that pantheon. Why do you say that I do?
Because Yahweh is from the pantheon of Baal, El, and what was that? I forgot the woman's name that was Yahweh's wife. But that's a deity of the Canaanites.
Well, I personally don't prefer the word, the name Yahweh. I use the King James Version of the Bible, and I believe that the name Jehovah is more of an accurate rendering of his name, not Yahweh.
What does the name Yeshua mean?
Well, Yeshua is a transliteration, I think, of the Hebrew word Joshua, named Joshua.
God Yahweh saves. No, Yahweh saves.
Yah saves, yeah.
Yeah, so you see what you're doing? You're doing that white person denial thing where you're shifting things to make it seem that it's more comfortable for you at this moment, because this is where I get you pinned, and I say Yahweh was a deity that came from a Canaanite pantheon of satanic elements by your definition, and you change the wording to make it fit your narrative of Lord, because you're not going to the original source where a lot of Christians argue, which I would argue this one in particular, is the definition of a word and the translation of it, meaning Yeshua, Yahweh, saved. So Yahweh was a deity of a Canaanite pantheon of child sacrifice, and it goes in that, I believe, in what part of the Bible? I don't have it right in front of me. Damn it, if I had my computer, I could use my notes. But it even mentions Baal in the Bible, that Yahweh was a part of that. It lightly references it. So if Yahweh came from a pantheon of child sacrifice, what did he do with Jesus?
Yeah, I see where you're going there. I don't agree with the name Yahweh. I've never used that name to refer to God. Like I said, you know, I have my preference in terms of what I believe is the most accurate rendering of the name of God, and I've never called him Yahweh. That's more of a modern, more in the modern Bibles. I don't use those Bibles for various reasons, but yeah, I see where you're going. I don't follow that line of thinking there, but I do understand.
But you
should,
because the Jews, if that is a demonic Jewish entity, you are praying to it without knowing it. And if the Jews have set up like a false prophet that is a middleman taking your prayers and your energy, your love and your devotion, and giving it to their Jewish deity, who is an evil child sacrificing murderer, right? I mean, he told, what was that, that one guy to murder his son and Holocaust him on a mountain. Yeah, Abraham, what was his kid's name?
Isaac.
Isaac, yeah, in Genesis 22:2 or something, right? To sacrifice him through a burnt offering, man. And burnt offering, we all know that's all tied in with Jewish sacrifice. And he said, you know, skip that. I'll just send my son down, and I'll sacrifice him. And it's like, everyone's forgetting, like, you complain about the chickens getting all the sins of the atonement, but here you have a Jewish deity doing the exact same thing to a deity that you worship. Like, essentially, the Jews can say, here's this chicken, Goy, worship it. Because it's the same fucking thing.
Well, I believe that Christ voluntarily came down to redeem us from death, so that way we could have eternal life. I don't view it as, like, some sort of a barbaric pagan deity who was, like, a bloodthirsty god who could only be appeased through, you know, like, he would only send us rain and crops and give us blessings if we, you know, did human sacrifices, like... Those were the surrounding pagan nations that actually God sent the Israelites in to destroy, who were doing such things.
But why would they give you a god, Yahweh, of a pantheon that was? He was like a war god, and there was other fertility gods. And this is what the Jews did, is they broke up all these polytheistic gods. Even these Sandigers had that form. The Jews had that form. And then they, you know, I mean, who knows if they're even... I assume the Jews are still practicing polytheism and just giving us white folks the monotheism of Christianity and the same knockoff shit with the Muslims.
Can I ask you something, Abrahamic?
Yeah.
Do you believe that, like, the hatred that the Jews have for Christianity is like a manufactured hatred, or do you think that there's something deeply spiritual at hand there with their hatred towards Christians?
It's both, because there's a love for Christians too that you don't understand. Like, MAGA retards feel like they have purpose in life when they're, you know, owning the left. right? And vice versa with these Antifa tards that think that they're, you know, destroying the establishment in Christ, you know, when, and they don't even know what Christ is. Like, if they knew that Christ was, like, you know, Jewish and all this other stuff, they'd probably become Christian. But they don't look at it. They look at it as a white thing, right? So it's a paradigm that you're stuck in because it's created by our enemies, and you're only given two choices.
But I'm not stuck in that paradigm because I understand that the Jew controls both sides. You know, the Jew is both a Zionist and is a Marxist, and he's created both sides, and he's created that dialectic for his own purpose, his own benefit. But I'm not stuck in that dialectic. I understand it's beyond that.
But how are you not stuck in that dialectic when you're practicing a form of Judaism, trying to fight Judaism?
See, I'm not trying to fight Judaism. I'm trying to live the life that I believe God has called me to live, and that's really what I'm trying to do is please God.
And what God are you trying to please?
The creator of heaven and earth, the father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The father is Yahweh, so a deity of a Canaanite pantheon.
Yeah, I simply don't agree with that he's a deity of some pagan pantheon. I would have to give, I'm assuming there's some evidence or some research that you've done to specifically lead you to that conclusion. Yeah. I don't see that, but...
Hey, but just look into it, man. Just look into Yahweh's pantheon of Canaanites, right? Before he came into it, he was in the temple, Asherah, right? Look, all this stuff is documented, bro. Yeah, his wife, and there's more to it. So, like, I can't force you to look. Like, I can't force you to understand this. You have to actually go and look at it and go.
Argue why Yahweh is what you're saying in terms of the name Yahweh that's been inserted into modern Bible versions is actually a, you know, giving homage to some ancient pagan deity. That's why some people would argue that Jehovah is more of an accurate rendering of God's name, and that's why they've taken it out of all the modern Bible versions.
Yeah, but the jealousy and the child sacrifice, all that stuff lines up with the other way of thinking of with the pantheon that doesn't make sense with the Copium pantheon explanation. I'm going to get to Ancestral Vril, and then we're going to jump around with hands. Ancestral Vril, how are you?
Doing good, brother. Hey, I just wanted to add to your pantheon thing, right? So it goes a little bit further, right? Because Yahweh is this demonic entity. And this is described all throughout the Bible, all throughout the Old Testament. He literally plays the role of Satan and deceives David and causes him to sin and then destroys all of a bunch of people after that. Anyways, Jesus in Hebrews is referred to as the Melchizedek, which Abraham offered sacrifices to. Now, you brought up Molech, right? Now, if you look at the word Molech, you can pull this up in the Strong's. It is spelled exactly the same as Melech. Now, the word Melchizedek is a conjunctive word. It is Melech. Zadik is righteous. So Jesus is the Melech Zadik. He is the righteous Moloch who they were sacrificing to. So Yahweh is a jealous God. Jesus is usurping this, and they're sacrificing to Moloch. Does this make sense? Look it up. It's the same etymology.
Interesting take. So you're saying that, like, give me this very simplified version of what Jesus is.
Jesus is Moloch. That's what I'm saying. He is Moloch. He is who the Israelites were sacrificing to, and this is why Yahweh was jealous. He got pissed off at them because they weren't sacrificing to him. So Jesus is this replay on this word of the Molech.
And that's the meta key. Can you explain that meta word again and connect all that, the etymology, please?
Yeah, so Moloch and Melech, they're spelled exactly the same. And only in the English, when they get translated, they put different vowels in. But in Hebrew, it's the same exact spelling of the same exact word. Melech and Moloch, they're the exact same. It's spelled like, I don't know the Hebrew letters, but it's basically spelled M-L-K or something like that. Both words.
Wow, MLK, Martin Luther King. What woke you, Ancestral Vril? Were you a Christian at one point? If you were, what snapped you out of it?
Yes, I was a Christian. I was born a Christian. My parents were kind of like hippie, like evangelical retard Christians. And then they my mom's parents were like gay and swingers and all kinds of crazy, dumb liberal shit. And they kind of like rebelled against that. So they like joined the Amish, or, well, not the Amish, the Mennonites, but we were basically Amish with cars. So I grew up going to Mennonite school, learning all the Bible verses. I had to memorize a chapter every single week of the Bible. You know, all my math curriculum, you know, how many loaves of fishes did Jesus make to the disciples, you know, and add that up. That was like my math and shit. So I was just immersed within the Bible. After when I was 18, I left that Mennonite cult because it was just gay. Kind of did my own thing, went to a couple of different churches, tried them all out, got really into the Bible. Just kept reading it and reading it and reading it, studied it, studied Hebrew. And then I just kind of started realizing that it was just a bunch of nonsense, a constant just disqualifications, right? Like the first thing that I started questioning was Jesus right off the gate. That was the first thing. And so I went into all of the prophecies in Matthew where they reference all the prophecies. You know, Jesus was born in Bethlehem according to the scripture. And then you go look up that scripture because it references it, right? And you can find that scripture. Well, it's not talking about Jesus in the prophecies. It's talking about somebody else, and they're going to come up from Egypt. It's just nonsense, dude. You can tell that they're just pill-pulling or... No, I don't know if it's pill pulling. If they're just taking Old Testament scriptures to create another scripture of this fictional character of Jesus Christ. So that was kind of what woke me up to the Bible. And then as I was researching the Bible, I started becoming more race aware because I just saw the Jews in everything. You know, everything is controlled by that and through the Bible. And it's like through spirituality is where they have the biggest amount of control. And so if they control that, then they control everything else. And that's when I started going into everything else from that point. So, yeah, that's kind of a short story.
Man, that was awesome. It's good to hear that you're like a Bible thumper and you kind of pieced it all together. And you snapped out of it. That's awesome. Yeah, that's probably a tough thing to do when it's your identity as a kid growing up, being fed this all the time and having to face the music and go, whoa, this is all bullshit. Holy smokes, got to reprogram. That's a big reprogramming step. So congratulations on doing that. Real quick, I know we got hands. I just want to ask you, was this recent that you snapped out of it? How long ago?
I mean, it's a journey, right? Like, it wasn't just like one day it all came together, but, as far as like, it was probably about 4 years ago that I just said, fuck the Bible. It's just a bunch of nonsense. I mean, I was so immersed in it, man. I was keeping the Sabbath. I wasn't even eating bacon anymore, dude. Like, I was like so literal with everything in it. I was just like, and I looked at myself one day and was like, I'm a goddamn Jew. And I just fucking said to hell with it all.
You weren't happy to get drafted, bro?
No, I was done with it, man. I was like, I still have my foreskin, thank God, right? But holy shit. I was getting close to being like, man, I'm out of the covenant. I got to knock this thing off. Get my hatchet out or something.
Amazing, man. So do you, like, do you see that the Bible is like a, as a tool to destroy our race?
Well, yes, I do. But it's also like Paul says, right? Like it's a two-edged sword. So it's also helpful. If our people are actually knowledgeable in it, which most of them aren't, it can completely destroy itself on its own.
Elaborate.
Well, there's a term that Christians use all the time. Use the Bible to interpret the Bible, right? Well, if you use the Bible to interpret the Bible, it collapses on its own. So It's not very hard. You don't even need to really know these little nuances of Hebrew and all of this shit. You can just read through it and see that it doesn't line up and it doesn't make any sense. But you have to get rid of the religious control first, right? Because everybody will read the Bible and then they'll go and talk to their pastor who hasn't read the Bible. He's done seminary. And he just knows what to say, and then they'll just go back to his answers, and they'll just stay in the loop. But what you have to do is you have to change the mold. You have to tell people, read the Bible from the beginning. This nonsense of Christianity where they tell you, when you get saved, start reading in John. It's not even the first book in the New Testament. What fucking retardation, liberal nonsense, fucking common core math is that bullshit? Read it from the beginning to the end. And then tell me what you come up with.
So they're just getting them to just rebrainwash themselves and not really come up with a solution. Is that what you're saying? I'm not sure if I heard that right.
What are you asking me again?
I'm sorry. I'm going through a shitty area. I kind of missed what you're saying about like the pastor telling to reread the Bible from the beginning. So he's not giving them a direct answer to like their question. He's just telling them to essentially just go reread the Bible.
Yeah, you're roboting pretty hard, but yeah, basically what I'm saying is, yeah, reprogram, be honest, go to the beginning. And you have to, like, get people out of, like, the mindset of, like, the pastor is right, right? Like, the church is right. Which I think we're already there. So, and now it just comes to the education part and the actual reading it from beginning to end in context on your own without the authority of religion.
Well, thank you for your feedback. You're welcome to stay up here. I think everyone gives this account of Paul. I think you kind of call out this shit quite a bit on your timeline. If I'm not mistaken, we're going to jump over to Hand. I believe we have Animal Cracker and then Token Comp, and we'll get to see more Amalek.
What's up, guys? I just wanted to ask Supremacist or any other Christians, do you find it odd that all the prophecies are fulfilled by other Jews? Like, they wrote the Old Testament, and then years later, decades, millennia, whatever, more Jews wrote the New Testament, which fulfilled the old prophecy. My aunt's a MAGA Christian, and she's talking about how we're going to go to a war with Iran, and that's going to fulfill the prophecy, excuse me. But if the Jews just took power and wielded influence on all the major governments and then made the war in Iran happen, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. There's nothing divine about it.
Well, no, I don't. I don't think there's no surprise there, and I'm not familiar with the prophecy your matter demo talked about. From dispensational, you know, MAGA Christianity, a long time ago. I never was even a part of it, but I fully reject that.
I think she was talking about Gog and Magog is somehow related to Iran or some shit like
but
that.
But Jesus Christ, he had to be a Jew in order to fulfill the messianic prophecies because he had to descend from the line of it. Old Testament prophecies that I've seen be fulfilled is the fulfillment of the conversion of the Gentiles, which was spoken about in the prophets, especially in Isaiah.
And giving us Christianity fulfilled that, right?
well, not Christianity, but salvation and the new covenant blessings, the blessings that God promised to Abraham, we inherited. We have the Abrahamic blessing of the one that was promised to him in Genesis 12. Then all in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Look, I get the criticisms of what, you know, a lot of people in here would call cuckianity, and, you know, this Zio Christianity is honestly, it's a shame, and a lot of it's blasphemous. So I understand the criticisms of those things. I just don't look at those things as, like, representative of real Christianity.
Yeah, but your real Christianity is racially, you can't be race first. So that's actually
good. I want to ask him a question. Hold on, big issue. Hey, man. Hey. This is Nemo. I'm like, what's up, guys? Hey, when did that happen? When did Christianity to you go from being like acceptable in your eyes to being cucky or whatever? At what point in time did that happen? What event did that happen? What kind of things made that go? And because I would say to you that, like, if we could like point to any denomination, they're all like that today. And I'm just curious when you think that happened and why, because in my view, it's always been like that, but I'm just curious why you think, or when you think that was.
Well, I never was like part of what would be considered cuckianity. Like I never was like a full on, like convinced evangelical normie. You know, I always was very skeptical of Christianity and quite honestly, I rejected it for a long time. But, you know, there was a place in my life where I began to study and read the Bible for myself, and God opened my eyes to a lot of the truth that was in there. And it actually somewhat convinced me that a lot of what was represented as Christianity is false, and that there's really only a remnant of people who are out there that are actually faithful to following Christ and the teachings of the apostles and reading and studying the Bible sincerely. Like the guy before you, Ancestral. You know, there's a lot of people who just parrot and repeat what their pastor Joe, Jim Bob, you know, says at their evangelical normie church, and they don't study and read the Bible for themselves. And a lot of these pastors are seminary trained, and they're just towing the line of their denomination, but that's not faithful to Christ or the Bible.
I understand. I understand, like you're like in lore reasoning for that. Like I really do get it. But what I'm asking for is like the specific timing when you think, like, not that you became part of, like I'm not asking for like your version, right? Like what happened with your Christianity. I'm asking, like, what do you think, what is the event that turned their Christianity, or what was the time point in time?
Oh,
their
I see what your question is. I would say a lot of that stemmed from the 1800s with Westcott and Hort and the revisions of the Bible, you know, introducing the critical texts, you know, the Alexandrinus and Vaticanus texts that the modern Bible versions used. And I believe that there was a concerted effort at that time to undermine the authority of the Bible and to introduce more critical, like, what's the word? Like, get rid of literal interpretations of the Bible and try to liberalize it and make it more modernized. I would say it probably was with around that time.
So do you think like Schofield and stuff like that was part of this? Is that?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, they were instrumental in, inserting, dispensational thought and making that become like the standard teaching.
So like, this is my point of view from it. And other people here have heard me say this before, but in my view, like, Well, first of all, I could go with you. Like, if we had like unlimited time, I could go with you verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and I can show you that there isn't any tampering with the meaning with these translations that should cause the whole thing.
You cut out there. Could you repeat that?
Yeah. I can repeat it. There's not. I can go with you verse by verse and chapter by chapter and kind of show you why there's no like mistranslations or anything like that with the Bible. You can literally go to like the original ones that we have. And just like those versions themselves already have built in what you're calling like this liberal ideal and specifically Zionism. Like Zionism is not some 1800s, 1700s ideology that was born out of nowhere. The idea that Jesus is coming back and returning to in Jerusalem to bring about basically the end times, this is something that was prophesied and has been, you know, a part of Christianity since its inception. The very first generation of Christians believed that because Jesus said he was going to come back before the last person of his generation, that the generation that killed him was going to die. So he basically says, that he's going to, like, the first Christians all thought Jesus was going to come back before the last person that saw that was alive when he died was going to come back. And this has been going on now for 2,000 years, basically.
Well, maybe so you could give me a follow, and then we could go over some of those verses together if you want. I'd be interested in just, obviously, you're coming from a completely different perspective than I have, but I would be interested in at least learning where you're coming from.
Yeah, like I would put it this way, right? Like just a good example is like the history of millennialism. Well, not millennialism in the modern sense, but millennialism in the medieval sense was basically the idea that a bunch of Christians, like, just, and this is 1000 AD-ish, right? Around 900s, 1000 AD, that Christians were basically making the argument that Jesus is going to return, okay? And that didn't happen in the 1000 or whatever. And right after that, they sparked the Crusades. And the Crusades, if you read the literature of the time, or like what they were saying and the speeches and their motivations, their theological motivation was explicitly stated that they're going to do the Crusades. They're going to take back that kingdom for the Holy Land, you know, the land that Jesus walked in. And when they do that, that's going to cause him to finally come back. So the Crusades are like this reaction to failed prophecies, right? And my point is that this, like, reaction to failed prophecies and then reaction to failed prophecies and this isn't something new from the 1700s or 1800s. This is just the current version, the current flavor of it in our modern world, or the post-Napoleonic war world.
Yeah, I'm somewhat familiar with, like, what you're referring to about, like, after the first millennium had passed, you know, the Catholic Church kind of had to try to reinvent what they believe in order to make it fit. But I just would simply say my response to that is they were not interpreting those prophecies correctly.
Right. Okay. That's fine. That's why I agree with you. I think that they're intentionally taking it out of context. I think that's just that's like built into Christianity. Like, that's how it works, right? But I guess
Christ said that overall, like, nobody knows the day or the hour in which he will return. So it's kind of like frivolous and vain to try to pin down when he's going to return, or somehow accelerate his return by some sort of a, you know, human means. Like, that's foolish, in my opinion.
When he says that, he's basically admonishing the idea that there's going to be prophets, by the way. Like, he's basically saying that there's not going to be a Muhammad in that verse. He's not saying that people can't interpret interpret when he's going to return. What he's saying is that there's not going to be a prophet that's speaking for God. Does that make sense? The difference there? So he's basically saying that he's going to be he's the last one. He's the last prophet, that there's not going to be another prophet. That's what he's saying in that verse. He's not saying,
I don't know. I don't see how you get that, because he specifically states, like, nobody will know when I come. The Son of Man will come in a day that you think not. So it's like he repeatedly told his disciples, like, I will come in an hour that you don't expect me. I will come when you least expect it. And like, I don't even know when I will return, except my Father only. So it's kind of vain to. It's kind of foolish. No, I laugh at those who try to tell when he's going to come back. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I really do get why, like, you held that position. I just think that this is built in and baked into the thing. So when you say, like, nobody should be trying to figure out when he's returning, but, like, the whole religion is about his return. So, like, they're obsessed with it. They're obsessed with the Holy Land. They're obsessed with Jesus. They're obsessed where he lived. They're obsessed with all that stuff. Like, that's just part of the religion.
I'm not even obsessed with the Holy Land, though. Like,
No.
Heaven, where Christ dwells, and his heavenly Jerusalem will come down on earth. Like, it's not the physical land. It's the Holy Land.
Well, I mean, it's within the lore, it's both. That's the whole point of the thing, right? Like, you know, the whole point is that Jesus is going to come back down to Jerusalem. That's been the original interpretation since the very beginning. He's going to come back. That's like the whole reason that we call it Armageddon, and that's the whole point of it. So even if you're interpreting it and saying, like, oh, like, we're not supposed to guess, and it's just supposed to happen or whatever, like, you do understand that that's like the absolute minority opinion, and that, like, the 99.999999% of Christians for all of time have basically been obsessed with this idea, right? Like, you get that?
I get that, and I'm okay with being part of that minority of people, because, like I said earlier, you know, there's a lot of Christianity that have, like, hijacked it for themselves, you know. Well,
my point to you is that when you say it's, like, a false version of Christianity, like, what you're talking about for, like, what you believe personally is less in line with, like, the majority of what we're saying as a category of is as Christians. So, and when you kind of point to, like, the 1700s and 1800s and say, like, oh, they became liberalized, they became cuck, they became Zionists. Like, that's missing the point. The whole thing is Zionist from the very inception, from the beginning. It's always been like this. It's always been interpreted like this.
I would disagree. Like, there's no biblical precedent.
Switch over.
There's no biblical precedent for, like, the modern day, like, ideology of Zionism. There is no biblical precedent for that. Christians historically, I mean, I'm talking about the earliest Christians, understood that, you know, the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD was a divine judgment upon the Jews who crucified Christ, and that they were meant to be scattered abroad in the four corners of the earth.
Yes, and then that they're going to be redeemed.
Our Jerusalem is in heaven. It's not on earth. Like, Paul the Apostle specifically stated that the Jerusalem which now is in bondage with her children, but Jerusalem which is above is the mother of us all. So the Christians historically understood that we look for a heavenly kingdom, the Jerusalem which is above, not on earth. And we await for the return of Christ, which will happen in an hour and a day that we expect not. And we
where is he going to return at? Physically, where is he? Because you believe in a physical return, correct?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, where is he going to return at?
Well, he says he will ascend. He will come down in like manner in which he ascended. You know, and he ascended from the Mount of Olives. So, you know, a lot of people look at that passage as being where he'll come back. So
even you are a Zionist. You believe that the King of Zion is going to return at the spot of Zion, at Al-Aqsa Mosque, at the Temple Mount, at the Tree of Olives, in Jerusalem.
Okay, in that sense, I guess you could say that I would be a...
Obviously, you're not a Zionist in the political sense. I'm not accusing you,
right,
of that, by the way.
Right. So, yeah, I guess you could say that, you know, sure, I'm a Zionist in that sense.
So it wasn't that it was corrupted. It wasn't that these guys are following the wrong interpretation of the Bible. It's really that you guys just disagree with the manner in which it returns, which is just kind of like arguing over, you know, who could win in a fight, Iron Man or Wolverine. Like, this is not really like this is a distinction without a difference. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really actually matter. What really matters is that in your head and every single Christian's head, everyone who reads that book who believes Jesus is going to return, which, I mean, if you're a Christian who doesn't believe Jesus has returned, I'm not saying you do either, but I'm just saying for the audience, if someone believes that Jesus isn't going to return and they're like, they say they're Christian, like they're not Christian. Like, a core part of Christianity is that Jesus is going to return. Okay. And my argument is that anyone who believes that, anyone who thinks that Jesus is going to return, that is a Zionist. Just by default, that's a Zionist. You know what I'm saying?
But what do you mean by Zionist? Like, could you give me a
definition?
Somebody who's obsessed with
or plays reverence to, or believes that their God is going to return to the land of Zion, which is Israel, you know, that whole area.
But that's a different definition of what, like, most people would think of when they think of,
I understand,
like, there's
political Zionism as a movement, right? But what I'm talking about is you guys are basically, like, idealizing in the same way that, okay, if I was, like, if I worship Zeus or if I worship Odin, okay, and I'm idealizing Valhalla, or I'm idealizing Mount Olympus, right? So in my head, I'm thinking about, oh, you know, Zeus is up there, and he's hanging out with the gods on Mount Olympus or whatever. And that affects people and how they believe, how they think, and how they feel. And, you know, that and basically what's happening is you have your mind's eye turned to Zion by being a Christian. And I think that right there in itself is basically like the root underlying cause that springs, that it like lays the foundation, it like lays the seed that grows into what we now know as like political or religious Zionism or all the stuff that you don't like, right? So in my view, I just like see you as somebody like you're like a seedling who hasn't really, I mean, you're just going to stay where you're at because I don't think you're going to want to become a Zionist or anything. So you're just going to you're like an underdeveloped version of that, which is fine, but like I still see it's like the same plant, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. I would just say that the modern political push for a Jewish homeland is not the biblical idea.
It's a satanic agenda
that I believe that it's going to ultimately culminate in the rise of the Antichrist.
Don't you think that Jesus is going to convert all the Jews to, like, when Jesus comes back, aren't all the Jews going to be like, oh shit, he was God? And
particular view. A lot of people do. I don't. I think that... that it says in the Bible, they're not all Israel which are of Israel. So... I believe that true Israel is both Jew and Gentile in Christ, and that the majority of the Jews are not Israel. They are false and apostate,
right, but that's not,
nation.
I'm just talking about the redemption, right? Like the redemption of the Jew. Like, I mean, that's a core part of the return, right? Like, you understand that? That's not really like a, it's not like an interpretation. It's just that, you know, the redemption of the Jews is part.
Yeah,
of the
like when
narrative.
It says that, you know, when it says like they
so
shall
on,
look
so,
on him when they
appear. Let me clarify.
Okay.
Them being satanic and them being evil is part of the redemption. They're supposed to be like that. Does that make sense? So like that's in the lore. That's built in the lore. I understand why you don't like them. But what I'm saying is that they have to be like that in your lore to be redeemed. They have to fall from, they have to deny Christ. They have to do evil things. And then what's going to happen in the lore, Jesus comes back and says, oh, you've been wicked, but I'm going to redeem you. And they're going to say, oh, okay, Jesus was actually the Messiah. Like that's the Christian lore, right?
I'm not saying
that you do. What I'm saying is that is just built in. The idea that Jesus is going to redeem the Jews, that isn't like an interpretation of Revelations or anything like that. That is just like the plain language reading. And it's like reiterated multiple times. That's like the whole game between Christians and Jews is that Christians want Jews to convert, not just because they want Jews to stop like doing their actions, but because in the Bible it talks about Jews converting to Christianity being a key part of Jesus coming back. Does that make sense? It's like a prerequisite. It's like part of the whole thing. And again, I get that you don't think that, like, you're not like, oh, we got to convert all these Jews so Jesus will come back. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that by believing in the narrative that Jesus is going to come back, and then there's this other extra lore built into it, you're kind of affirming that regardless, no matter what. Like, even if you don't personally believe that, by saying that you think Jesus is going to return, you're affirming that lore. Because that, I mean, like I said, every single Christian church in some way believes this. They have their own version of it, but this is what they believe.
I think we lost him, Amalek.
Oh, unlucky. Yeah, that's fine.
But I was going to say earlier, though, about like scapegoating the Schofield and all interpretation and all of that. Like, I used to do that, too. But when you just plain read it, it's like biblical prophecy is all about the land. From Genesis to Revelations, like
the Torah is the story about
you can throw it in the relationship with that land, but heaven comes to earth, like, and it comes to Jerusalem. So,
yeah, I mean, look, the whole purpose of the Torah is the subversion of the nations on this planet, like on this earth, right? It's not a heavenly only, spiritual only, mental only concept. That's not a true view of any that's ever been like a mainstream part of Christianity or any of the Abrahamic religions. And the ones that are like that, like the purely mystical, the purely Kabbalistic, the purely mental, like the Essianic type of flavors of Abrahamism, even they understand that it's really connected to the real world. They don't actually, they're not like a pure heavenly, you know what I'm saying? Like, they don't purely believe in that. Even when those are like the most mystical, the most mental flavors of Abrahamism. Like, Sufi Islam isn't even, like, Sufi Islam is probably the most mystical flavor of Abrahamism I could think of. And I mean, Sufi Islam doesn't even believe that stuff. Like, they still have part of this tied into the real world. So his idea that it's just like purely heaven, it's purely mystical, isn't really, like, I get that he has his own personal interpretation. That's part of it. That's fine. But that's just not like the way that's not the way it's operated for all of history.
Yeah, I just can't help myself because, like, Peter says that we don't get to have our own personal interpretation. I forget the exact reference, but it's like, you know, we all get to have our own right Christianity. And I was there for like a long ass time, you know, I was the only one out there. And it's like, okay, so the remnant's going to be me. I'm going to be the only bride of Christ, either in heaven or here on earth. Like, that's going to suck ass.
Hey, HD, you want to pass me co-lead so I can, just in case you disconnect or whatever, co-host or whatever, and then I can bring him back up if I see him. So you don't got to worry about it while you're driving.
Yeah.
Or whatever you're doing.
We should do that right now. How do I shoot the co-host?
I don't know. I don't use the phone app too much. I don't know.
It's not allowing me to, wait, hold on.
That's fine.
But no, I got you. Come on. There we go. A little dyslexic.
All good. Yeah. The Schofield cope and all these things, like I said, you know, I learned probably 3 years ago, 4 years ago now, I guess, like around towards the tail end of COVID, how to go through and just debunk this totally, because I was really interested in like the Schofield stuff. So I got like a really old Schofield Bible PDF, right? And I put it in, and I went through like the original Greek translations, the King James Version translations, and then Schofield right next to it, like all three versions. And I like went line by line and it like that for all the relevant passages and verses that they think are misinterpreted. And I'm talking like hundreds and hundreds of lines, and there's no changes. There's none. What there is there's references and notes for priests, okay, that are like framing it within this, like what he would call dispensational argument or whatever. And the issue with that is, first of all, if your fucking religion gets taken down by some footnotes, then it's like already fucked up and made improperly. It's like made out of paper, okay? Like, and you can't have a religion based that, like, we can't have a paper religion, okay? That's the first thing. The second thing is the regular interpretation of those verses is still, like, in my view, Zionist, in the way I describe it, where your mind is still on Zion. Even if you think that that's going to be some kind of Christian kingdom, it's still taking European people and having them focus on the desert. You know what I mean?
And, well, yeah. I mean, so like I went down that rabbit hole a little bit too, but it's like the King James Version isn't affected by the Schofield. The Dead Sea Scrolls aren't affected by.
That's a perfect example. Yeah.
Right. And so all Christian apologists, even though it's not true, will say that Isaiah, the version of Isaiah that we have and the Dead Sea Scroll version of Isaiah is exactly the same. Right. They'll make that claim, even though it's not true. But let's say that it is Isaiah 62. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. Until righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burns. And the Gentiles, the Goy, shall see my thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord Yahweh shall name. And it's like, okay, you know, you don't have to come up with an interpretation for that. It says it right there.
Yeah, the whole point, like Judaism's whole narrative is about the relationship between their God, their people, and that land. It is intrinsic to the DNA of Abrahamism, that specific land. You just can't pull it apart. It's impossible to decouple.
What do the evangelicals always quote? If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, I will return and heal their land, right? It's the land.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the other thing too about this is, you know, he can have his own interpretation of the Bible too. And I really don't mind when I mean, it's a slightly annoying when they do their own personal version of Christianity. And it's a shame that we don't get like real Christians, but that's kind of what the thing is, right? Like someone like him is very close because he at least sees the problem, but he's still just like hung up on the Jesus drug or whatever. I mean, look, the core issue is, like I said, he's completely missing the point if he thinks that it's a spiritual heavenly kingdom, only a mystical kingdom. Oh, yeah, that was gonna say the whole idea of like the translation of the Bible reminds me a lot of like the events of World War II and the history around World War II, right? So the way we're basically not allowed to talk about those events, and the way it's basically like blasphemy law enforced in many countries, you know, that is how the Bible was treated for its entire history until recently. So people like him who have their own personal interpretation of Jesus and their own personal interpretation of Christianity, that's like an entirely new phenomenon because of the history of, you know, fighting to get the Bible translated or bringing it to the masses. If that never happened, if they would have tried to keep the regular people from seeing it and understanding it and reading it, right? Like that was the whole purpose of the Catholic Church. That was their whole pre-Council of Trent idea, was that they thought that the Bible could only be, you know, understood by the priestly class. Okay, so now So that's the first like 1600, 1500 years of the religion. And then 400, so now 400 years after that, we have people that are following like their own personal version. Well, the only reason you're able to even have that own personal version is because of the way it spread. You know, it spread violently. It spread by force. It spread through top-down government, Bolshevik-style tactics, okay? And the only reason he's now able to have his own interpretations and read the thing is because of the rebellion against that very idea of being able to read or not read the Bible itself. So he's got a very, those types of people who kind of like, you know, have their own personal interpretation. They're doing that on the backs of the rebellion against the thing, in the same way that like our deconstruction of the period of World War II and like the top, that whole story is built on the backs of
I always like to say, like, if you look at like any time in Christendom, in the history of Christendom, when we prevailed, right? When we conquered, when we did awesome shit, it's always in pure defiance of the word of God. That's when it always happens. So it's that's funny.
Yeah, and the exceptions to that are things like, you know, the missionary stuff, right? Where, you know, the British Empire, for example, there's a period of time where they're like obsessed, actually Spain and Portugal are a better example of this. Spain and Portugal, they basically like, their stated motivations was missionary work, right? And part of that was political and geopolitical and like, you know, real world stuff that had nothing to do with religion. You know, basically if you can get the church to buy into your little thing, your little political thing for legitimacy or whatever, like that's going to motivate you. But that doesn't change the fact that basically Spain and Portugal set up missionaries to convert the non-whites all throughout Asia, Africa, and South and Central America. Like, and how did that work out, right? Like how did that help? How did that help the racial stock and the power or the authority of white people internationally? Well, I mean, you guys can kind of see what's happened. It's basically like it's ruined us. It's like we've become deracinated because of it. So, you know, the things that they do claim are based, like, oh, we had empires and colonialism, and if without that, we wouldn't have had the motivation for it. It's like, yeah, but like, how did that work out? How did that work out? Because now we got a whole continent of, I mean, we have a whole continent, South America, of what it's going to look like, what Christianity is going to look like for the world if we continue down this path. Like, that's just what's going to happen because there's nothing stopping it. So on a long enough timeline, could take 100 years, it could take 200 years, it could take however many years. On a long enough timeline, if our people keep up this relationship with Christianity, it's going to be global Brazil. And we can see that that's happened. No matter how much, you know, people want to say like, oh, it's my personal view of Christianity is this or that or whatever. But yeah, let's do some hands. Who was next? I don't remember HT yet. You had
either Animal Cracker or Totenkopf.
Okay, there's two crackers in here. So let's do, okay, so one of them is a cracker that looks like he's a Christian. And then, so let's do this. Let's do Animal Cracker and Totenkopf quick. And then I want to talk to a Christian. I want to talk to Cracker, the Christian cracker.
Hey guys, HT was asking Ancestral how he snapped out of it. I thought this might help some people. I was raised to be a Christian, and I never believed this shit even from when I was young. So my mom ordered me this book thinking it was going to answer all the questions that she couldn't. I believe it was called So You Think You Know the Bible. It's old and it might be out of print, but there's dozens of these types of books now. But basically what it was is a 4 or 5 inch book listing and going over all the contradictions in the Bible. And then